So as I was preparing for this week for today's service, thinking about some of the challenging topics in this series, looking at how we can practically put into action our love from God to demonstrate Jesus' love to those around us. And that actually, that can be really challenging. That can put us in quite a tough place, a place of sacrifice. And I was thinking maybe this week might be a good week to just kind of stay in the comfort zone. Give us a chance to pause, take breath as we reflect on the Beatitudes. Kind of snuggle up with one of the best bits of moral teaching that's ever existed. The most amazing bits of scripture of hearing Jesus addressing a crowd. The thing is, the more time I spent with this passage, the more time I was thinking, well, maybe we just kind of stay in a comfortable place, the more I found that my ideas are just falling off to where Jesus has already led. The more things I was reading, the more videos I watched, the more things I was digging up. Things like the word beatitude is actually the Latin derivation of the Greek word used in the text, which is makaroi, which doesn't actually translate like for like into English. We use blessed, blessed in English. Some translations use happy. But actually, the original word in Greek is kind of picking up on the idea of being in a privileged position, of a deep felt joy from how goodness has been bestowed on you. And the more I was picking up on these little technical points that going into some of the theology about things, the more I realised that perhaps there was a danger of me missing the point. That somehow there was me thinking I could put something together in a sermon that was more impactful than what Jesus did 2,000 years ago in one of, if not the greatest sermon ever. So I felt a challenge. I felt a challenge to actually spend more time in and with the text. For us this morning to dwell in the text for a while, to hear what it has to say to us, to feel what it means to us, to live the text as best we can. So it's a little bit different, but that's what we're going to do this morning. Perhaps not quite in the comfort zone I'd intended. But we're in this midst of showing practical ways of demonstrating God's love. I mean, we had Sharon last week sharing about how as a church we can support children and vulnerable people in care and give some hope to those, possibly some of the most disadvantaged people in society. In a few weeks we're hearing from John Marshall from Milton Keynes Food Bank about the work they're doing, and Operation Agri about developing sustainable ways of doing things in the developing world. From Mission Aviation Fellowship, who provide relief, help, support and hope to remote cultures and communities, about how we can demonstrate God's love as a practical outworking of our faith in God. But today, though, just for this morning, we're going to dwell in the words of Jesus. So it's in Matthew 5. If you want to turn to it. We're going to spend quite a bit of time with it this morning, so it might be handy to have it at least in view if you can. If you haven't found it yet, it's on page, I've just lost it, 968. And it's Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12. Now, as I read this, think about the context. This is towards the start of Jesus' ministry. He's basically been baptized in chapter 3, goes through a period of temptation in the end of chapter 3 into 4, starting his teaching ministry in the first half of chapter 4, calling the first disciples and things. So we're now picking up chapter 5. This is early days, but already Jesus has built up a following. There were crowds there. So picture the scene. You've got Jesus coming to near where you are. Maybe it's Olney, maybe it's Harold, maybe it's actually here in Lavendon. You've got Jesus rocking up. You're dropping everything because actually the reputation is already built by how he's living his life, by the things he's done, the things he's said. has already made it so that you want to hear what he has to say? Do you want to go there? A crowd is appearing. This is a big deal in that little part of the Middle East 2,000 years ago. So now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, when he saw the crowds, these are crowds of ordinary people. These are crowds of people who are probably struggling through life. They're not going to be particularly affluent. They're not going to have all the wealth around them. They haven't got the authority to do much because there's a Roman oppressors there. You've got the might of the Roman army occupying this land. They're people who are struggling a bit. So imagine you're one of those crowd on this day on a mountainside. You're turning up. You know that the people around you are looking for something to get you through. The support, the encouragement, the fact you're under oppression, that there's a regime that is brutal, that actually life is really tough. And Jesus sat down. That was the way rabbis taught then. People didn't stand at the front, they sat, and people listened to them. But can you imagine Jesus in front of you, addressing this crowd, looking around at people who are really struggling? "Blessed are the poor in spirit." These are not the people who think they know it all, who are God's gift to humanity. These are not the people who are in positions of power. These are people who are poor in spirit. You can imagine Jesus looking around, seeing the people there, perhaps noticing over in the corner a few widows. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." We've got Jesus addressing the crowd in front of him. This isn't some random aspect of life. This isn't some premeditated, there's a list of requirements, a to-do list of things that we do as Christians. This is a description of people coming into God's kingdom, of being in God's kingdom. Back to verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." What does that mean? That's about people who are not thinking they are it. I'm sure we've all encountered people who always think they know best, who always won't, they will never listen to anything you say because they know better. That's not someone who's poor in spirit. This is talking about humility. And humility isn't about thinking less of yourself, of talking yourself down, thinking that you're not good enough. Humility is recognizing our position, that God is God and we are not. That actually there's aspects of our lives that we get wrong because we're human, we're broken, we're frail. Being poor in spirit is recognising that and knowing that our reliance is on God. That it's through the Holy Spirit working through us that gives us the strength to carry on. There's no self-help books, there's no courses we could go on that is going to teach us how to save ourselves. We're utterly reliant on God for that. To be poor in spirit. Because if you get to that place where you know you're utterly reliant on God, the kingdom of heaven is yours. And for those who mourn, you're blessed because you mourn. But what does it mean to mourn? It means you care. Because if you don't care, you're not going to mourn. If something means nothing to you, you're not going to miss it when it's not there. But it's about caring. It's again talking back into not putting yourself first, but actually looking to God and God's values. About being those who mourn because you care. You see what's going on around you. You see the things that people are struggling with. And actually that upsets you because you care about those around you. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. If you think, let's contrast meek. What would be a good example of that? Or maybe the might of the Roman Empire that goes out as a way to celebrate military victories, of dominating the cultures it goes into, of making sure that everybody knows it's boss, it's in charge. But that's not God's kingdom. God's kingdom's not about forcing people to do things. God's kingdom's about love, about caring, about knowing that we're not the answer, that God is. Because blessed are the meek, because they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It almost feels like you don't need to say anything on that. But as you go through the prophets in the Old Testament, it's about justice. It's about righteousness. It's about the poor, the oppressed, those who are struggling, being given a voice, being given a help up, being looked after. To celebrate the good things with people when the good times are there, but actually to care. To hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because there will be people there that day who probably were physically hungry and thirsty. They're on a crowd on the side of a mountain. We know other stories of where actually Jesus stepped into that situation and provided lunch for them. This, though, we don't know how they were being fed. When there was a few that weren't particularly organised, rushed out of the house, dashed up the hill to see Jesus and hadn't had time to pack a lunch. Probably with their mum telling them, don't forget to pack your lunch. And as they run up the hill, they go, oh, she's going to just tell me, I told you so. But actually, it's about people who are hungry and thirsty. And if you've ever been really hungry, genuinely hungry or thirsty, you know that it's all-consuming. You don't think of other things when you're truly hungry and thirsty. And here, we're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, about seeing God's will being done. So blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. We're a forgiven people. We think of the grace and mercy we're shown day by day, week by week, year by year, throughout our lives by God. That's the example we live by, being merciful, because God is merciful to us. And the pure in heart. I think that just goes along with it all, in that actually if you're doing things for the right motives, for God's purposes, then we will see God working in that. But actually when we're doing it for selfish ambition, when we're doing it because it's a good idea to support us, when we're trying to get more followers on Instagram or whatever it is we're trying to do to build up for ourselves, we're not pure in heart. And will we see God working in that? Blessed are the peacemakers. Again, think of a very violent time where war was common, conflict was common. Military might was seen as being an important characteristic of the culture that was there. I'm not sure that's so different today. You look at the Trump administration and things that are going on there, and the focus on conflicts and making sure that we get our things by military might or by whatever ways we can. We don't look at a culture around us and our leadership in some countries and go, these people are peacemakers. I'm not sure that we would argue that they're sons of God in some ways, because they're bringing conflict where perhaps peace would be definitely peace would be a better option. But if we're in this place, if this is describing our experience of life in the kingdom, that actually we recognise that we're not God, that we're reliant on God, that we care about those around us, we recognise what's going on in other people's lives, we mourn when we see hurt and pain, that we're not trying to serve our own needs, we're not trying to push ourselves forward, but we're hungry and thirsty to see God's will be done, for righteousness to prevail, for justice to happen, for there not to be people needing to rely on food banks, or to sleep rough on the streets, or to be in a care system that's broken and failing them, where we end up with so many people in prison who came through the care system, where we see the drug abuse and things that comes through being failed by the culture that's supposed to support them. We need to be showing mercy, because it's in that mercy that we can receive the mercy back. We need to be forgiven when we see things going on around us, and need to be making peace. But there is a flip side to that. If we are exhibiting these kingdom values, if that is a description of us and our life and our experience, that we are these things, people will react to that. We can see at the beginning of this passage, crowds had developed around Jesus. And I truly believe if the church in this country was truly seeking justice and God's righteousness with a hunger and thirst, whether we were caring for those who were struggling in life, whether we were doing all those amazing things, I think we would attract people into the church. But when we look also, Jesus was, it was the things he said, the things he did. It wasn't just one or the other. He was telling people that they needed to change their lives. And if we do that, then people in power aren't necessarily going to like it. That there will be times when we come under persecution. When we speak the truth into a situation, it may not always be welcome. But if our hunger and thirst is for righteousness to happen, then I think we know what we need to be doing. Essentially, for me, it all boiled down to two sentences, this passage. It was about being a people, hearing a much-needed message of hope. That you can imagine the people there on that day having a tough life under oppression, a regime that's brutal. And Jesus is talking to them and saying, actually, it's not always going to be like this. Things will change. This may be your experience now, you may be mourning now, but in the future you will be comforted. What you're experiencing now is not permanent, but temporary. So being a people hearing a much needed message of hope, but the second sentence of being a people sharing a much needed message of hope. That actually it's not just for us to hear and receive these things, to be comforted, to be lifted up, but it's about us doing that as well. I said earlier, this is not a list of requirements to become a Christian. This is not kind of a to-do list as Christians that we have to go and mourn, we have to do this, we have to do that. But this is a description of life in the kingdom of God. This is Jesus talking about what life is in the kingdom. That if we are these things, we will receive blessing. We will be filled. We will be shown mercy. We will see God. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. So maybe whatever we're going through, be it good, be it bad, we might need to hear the message that actually this is temporary. It will pass at some point. We have the kingdom that's here but not yet. We have that future hope to look forward to. And actually sharing that hope is an important function of what we do as church. That as part of that, we look at the rest of this series, of why we are involved with the MK Food Bank, why we are supporting people like MAF, why we are doing these practical outworkings and showing Jesus' love for those around us. Because we are people who need to be sharing the hope that we've received with those around us. And that hope doesn't lie in us, but that hope lies in God and in that saving, wonderful, overwhelming love of God and that relationship we can have with him. So, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. But blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." It's kind of a manifesto of God's kingdom. It's not about survival of the fittest, never showing weakness, fake it till you make it type of culture that we see around us. I don't know if any of you watch The Apprentice when it's on, but could you imagine them signing up to that, on that program? That actually about being poor in spirit is the way forward. Or is it all about, I want the power, I want it now, it's all about me and how great I am. But actually for us, it's not about how great we are. It's about how great our God is. So let's finish by singing that. About how great is our God.